welcome to St. James Cathedral and to this celebration of the second Sunday of Lent. As we prepare ourselves for prayer, please take a moment to silence your cell phone. As you entered the cathedral today, you received a bulletin which contains the order of celebration for today's Mass. It includes the music and sung responses. Please use it to participate fully and actively in the liturgy today. The introit response is found in the order of celebration. Please rise for the entrance.
Begin our prayer this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.
A brief announcement before we begin Mass this morning. The Archbishop has, in light of recent events around the coronavirus, the Archbishop has issued some temporary directives for us just to make some prudent choices around our liturgical practices. So in response to the coronavirus, Archbishop Aitchen has asked that until further notice at communion, the Eucharist will only be offered in the hand, not on the tongue. We will refrain from offering the precious blood. And at the sign of peace, we ask that you simply say, "Peace be with you," to extend a verbal sign of peace and to avoid physical contact. As we begin our liturgy this morning, let us acknowledge our sins and so to prepare to celebrate our sacred mysteries. Have mercy on us, O Lord. Show us, O Lord, your mercy. Almighty God, have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. O God, who have commanded us to listen to your beloved Son, be pleased, we pray, to nourish us inwardly by your word, that with spiritual sights made pure, we may rejoice to behold your glory. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen. A reading from the book of Genesis. The Lord said to Abram, "Go forth from the land of your kinsfolk and your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. All the communities of the earth shall find blessing in you." Abram went as the Lord directed him. The word of the Lord.
The Lord loves justice and right. on those who revere God, on those who hope in God's love, to rescue their souls from death, to keep them alive in famine.
A reading from the second letter of St. Paul to Timothy. Beloved, bear your share of hardship for the gospel with the strength that comes from God. He saved us and called us to a holy life, not according to our works, but according to his own design and the grace bestowed on us in Christ Jesus before time began, but now made manifest through the appearance of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. The word of the Lord.
From the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, conversing with him. Then Peter said to Jesus in reply, Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud cast a shadow over them. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell prostrate and were very much afraid. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, Rise and do not be afraid. And when the disciples raised their eyes, they saw no one else but Jesus alone. As they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, Do not tell the vision to anyone until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord. When I was studying to become a priest a number of years ago, I took a homiletics class from a Dominican priest, which is interesting because I'm a Jesuit. He reflected with us one day that any good preacher must necessarily know Jesus. And knowing Jesus is different from knowing about Jesus. Knowing Jesus is different from knowing about Jesus. To illustrate his point, he told us a curious story that has always stuck with me. When he was in high school, he really wanted to date. He asked his parents if he could, but they said no. He was still curious about the experience of dating, however, so he went to the library and checked out books on dating and kissing, and he devoured those books. In the meantime, he asked his parents if he could date, and they repeatedly said the same thing, no. By his senior year, however, they finally said yes, and he was able to finally go on that first date where he experienced his first kiss. My homiletics preacher remarked, I read all of those books about dating and kissing, but those books would never be a substitute for the knowledge I experienced firsthand when I was finally able to go on that date myself. The point he was making with respect to preaching, which I think applies to all of us as Christian disciples, is that our knowledge of Christ cannot simply be theoretical. It is a knowledge of Christ that comes through personal experience, as parents know their children, or how spouses, how a wife knows her husband, and how a husband knows his wife. In our Catholic Church, we put our faith in the person of Jesus Christ, whom we believe is very much alive and present in our midst. We believe that it's very much possible to encounter Jesus in our lives today. What inspires and gives life to our faith is the belief that all of us here can have that personal encounter and relationship with Jesus in our lives, and that encounter is not reserved to the saints alone. And it's this encounter with God and Christ that inspired the lives of our ancestors in faith as we read in our readings today. Abraham in our first reading didn't simply have an idea of God. We hear today how God spoke to Abraham and vice versa. And it's from this personal relationship with God that Abraham was able to venture into the unknown in his old age, trusting in God's providence. As we hear in our psalm today, Lord, let your mercy be on us as we place our trust in you. Now we might say to ourselves, God doesn't speak to me like he does to Abraham. I'm not sure if I have access to God as Abraham did. During Vatican II, one of the key principles that came out of the Church's document on the liturgy is the belief in the fourfold presence of Christ in the liturgy. And I love that because it reveals the richness of the various ways in which we can encounter Christ here in our worship. And one of the presences that the Church teaches that is that Christ can be found in the hearing of Scripture. When we listen to Scripture, when the word of the Lord is proclaimed at Mass, when we say thanks be to God and praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, the Church teaches that we are not simply listening to words that were written a long time ago. At every proclamation of Scripture, the Church teaches us that God speaks to each and every one of us in the here and now. And what God says to me might be different from what God says to you. An ancient form of prayer that has been practiced by Catholics for over 1,000 years is the practice of Lectio Divina. This prayer invites us to pay attention as we listen to Scripture. Perhaps there is a word, a phrase, a verse, or an image that catches our attention as we listen. This form of prayer encourages us to then pay attention. It's precisely what catches our attention, where we might encounter that still, small voice of God speaking to us, encouraging us, inspiring us. And as we pay attention, we sit with it for a while, and we prayerfully open ourselves up so that God might speak to us here and now. For example, when I listen to our readings today, I begin to reflect about the uncertainty that many of us feel in our city, country, and world, especially as the coronavirus begins to spread. Yet as Abraham trusted God as he ventured into the unknown, as the psalmist says, Lord, let your mercy be on us as we place our trust in us. As Jesus told Peter, James, and John, do not be afraid. My own prayerful experience is of God telling me to trust in his providence and to love during these uncertain times. Do not be afraid. Trust in God. Do not let fear be our primary motivator. In health and in sickness, God will always be with us if we have eyes to see and ears to hear. In our gospel reading, we hear today about this familiar and intimate encounter that Peter, James, and John had with Jesus. Here, Jesus becomes transfigured before them, his face shining like the sun, and his clothing becoming white as light. Later on in the gospel, they hear the voice from heaven that repeats the same words that we hear at the baptism of Jesus. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Listen. As a Jesuit, another form of prayer that has inspired my own vocation as a religious is the prayer of Ignatian contemplation, a prayer that uses the power of our imagination. In this form of prayer, we are invited to use these faculties of our mind and to place ourselves alongside the apostles, for example, to imagine Jesus in his radiance at the transfiguration, as if we ourselves were there. But because we believe that Christ is alive and active, this form of prayer trusts that God can truly speak to us through this medium and allow our encounter with the Lord to become active and alive. Christian discipleship calls us to walk alongside Christ in our lives. And this form of prayer can beautifully help us to experience the presence of Christ come alive as we contemplate more fully the stories of Jesus in the Gospels. The beauty of our Catholic tradition, however, is that we have multiple ways through which we are called to encounter Christ. If these prayer practices don't work, we also have access to the sacraments, which by their very nature are meant to help us to encounter Christ truly. The sacrament of reconciliation invites us to experience Christ's mercy in our lives in the midst of our sinfulness and brokenness. And of course, in the sacrament of the Eucharist, we are called to encounter Christ in a very real and intimate way,
and the coronavirus will not get in the way of that encounter. We receive Christ's very self, and when we say amen, we say yes to his real presence offered to us, which necessarily calls us then to be like Christ to others, so that others might encounter Christ through our very lives. When we encounter Christ, we become more deeply and intimately the body of Christ, and we are called to embody the presence of Christ to those in our midst. And during these times of uncertainty, how much more are we called to embody Christ to one another at this time, when we see stories in our news through which fear and hatred has caused so much harm as a result of the times we live in. And so, my brothers and sisters in Christ, as we continue our Lenten journey, as we soon approach the table of the Lord, may our Lenten practices of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving help us to know Jesus more personally and intimately, that in knowing Jesus ourselves, we may live our lives more rooted in him, so that others might recognize the nourishing presence of Christ in their very midst. Amen. Please remain seated as I invite the catechumens and candidates for full communion to come forward. My dear catechumens and candidates, this community now sends you forth to reflect more deeply upon the Word of God, which you have shared with us today. Be assured of our loving support and prayers for you. And we look forward to the day when you will share fully in the Lord's table. Go now in the peace of Christ. So let us profess our faith using the Apostles' Creed, which you can find in your worship aid if you need it. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. In the light of Christ, the crucified and risen one, let us pray.
For the church, that we may be cleansed from sin and transfigured by the power of God.
In your great love.
For the medical and emergency personnel throughout the world who are working to contain the coronavirus, and for all those who have been affected, especially those who have died and their families, that God may grant healing and hope.
In your great love.
For our elect preparing for baptism at Easter Vigil, that the light of the risen Christ may transform their lives.
In your great love.
For our brothers and sisters in the parishes of St. Joseph in Seattle, Tacoma, and Linden, and the St. Joseph Mission in Kalama, for their pastors and all who share in the ministry, that they may know God's loving care.
In your great love.
For all of us gathered in this holy place, that in our times of darkness, the love of God may shine in our hearts and minds.
In your great love.
Holy God, from the dazzling cloud you revealed Jesus in glory as your beloved Son. Enlighten your church with the bright glory of your presence. Inspire us by your word and transfigure us into the image of the risen Lord who lives and reigns forever and ever.
Thank you.
Pray, brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours might be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. May this sacrifice, O Lord, we pray, cleanse us of our faults and sanctify your faithful in body and mind for the celebration of the Paschal festivities through Christ our Lord. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts. Give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right and just.
It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks. Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God, through Christ our Lord. For after he had told the disciples of his coming death, on the holy mountain he manifested to them his glory, to show, even by the testimony of the law and the prophets, that the passion leads to the glory of the resurrection. And so with the powers of heaven, we worship you constantly on earth and before your majesty, without end we acclaim. You are indeed holy, O Lord, the fount of all holiness. Make holy, therefore, these gifts, we pray, by sending down your Spirit upon them like the dewfall, that they might become for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. At the time he was betrayed and entered willingly into his passion, he took bread. Giving thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it. For this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when the supper was ended, he took the chalice. Once more, giving thanks, gave the chalice to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink of it. For this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." The mystery of faith. Therefore, as we celebrate the memorial of his death and resurrection, we offer you, Lord, the bread of life and the chalice of salvation, giving thanks that you have held us worthy to be in your presence and minister to you. Humbly, we pray that partaking of the body and blood of Christ, we may be gathered into one by the Holy Spirit. Remember, Lord, your church spread throughout the world and bring her to the fullness of charity, together with Francis, our Pope, Paul, our Bishop, and all the clergy. Remember also our brothers and sisters who have fallen asleep in the hope of the resurrection, and all who have died in your mercy. Welcome them into the light of your face. Have mercy on us all, we pray, that with the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with Blessed Joseph, her spouse, with the blessed apostles and all the saints who have pleased you throughout the ages, we may merit to be co-heirs to eternal life and may praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him and with him and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. At the Savior's command, informed by divine teaching, we dare to pray.
Who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy, we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now.
Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you," look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Let us offer a verbal sign of peace to one another.
Amen.
Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the one who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. Lord, I'm honored.
Thank you.
Let us pray. As we receive these glorious mysteries, we make thanksgiving to you, O Lord, for allowing us, while still on earth, to be partakers even now of the things of heaven through Christ our Lord. Amen. Just a few announcements. We welcome all visitors to the cathedral. Please know that you brought us a blessing by your presence. Visitors and regulars alike are invited to the coffee hour in Cathedral Hall, located on the south side of the block. The cathedral bookstore is open after all masses. The bookstore is located in the Archbishop Murphy Courtyard on the south side of the cathedral. And due to health and safety concerns, a couple of events have been canceled or postponed. The Monday night Lenten Bible study with Ron Ryan has been suspended. Resources will be posted on the cathedral's webpage for anyone who would like to continue to study on their own. Also, Tuesday's de-escalation training has been rescheduled for April 21st. Prayers and blessings as you continue this Lenten journey. I pray that you might continue to experience our Lord who is present in your midst and that you can grow into deeper and more intimate relationship with him. The Lord be with you. And may Almighty God bless you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Go in peace, glorifying the Lord with your lives.
Amen.